Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Welcome to Share Talk. Today we've got Maxim Barsky, who's the CEO of Matra Petroleum AB, and they are listed on the Nasdaq First North Sweden as of April 2017, previously on FTSE AIM market, and they're an oil and gas exploration and production company operating in the US. Good afternoon, Maxim.
Good afternoon, John.
So can you just tell me a bit more about the history of Matra, please?
Sure. I bought into Matra shares. I bought nearly 29% in 2012. At that time, the company had only one exploration license in Russia, in the Volga-Urals region. I think Matra Petroleum as a company had a history of exploration projects in Eastern Europe. But at the time when I came in as a shareholder, that was the only project they had. And basically, I put about $8 million in investment, and that money went into exploration work, some seismic work on that asset. And then we decided, once we received the results of the seismic, we decided to sell that license, and we sold it for $30 million in 2000. It was 2013. And at that time, Matra became what's called investment company, and stock exchange has stopped the trading of the shares. And we started to look for international opportunities. United States, as you know, probably the largest market for private oil and gas assets. It's the only market where private ownership of the mineral rights are allowed. I mean, everywhere else in the world, governments controls the resources, and the States is the only market for the private ownership. So Houston is the capital of the oil industry, and so that's where we opened the office, and that's where we started to look for the assets.
So how do you expect to grow the asset base that you've got at the moment?
We've been able to consolidate quite a sizable resources. We have 23 million barrels of proven reserves. We have about 600 old wells that have been drilled for the last 30, 40 years in that area. But the area was sort of left by the large companies, by the majors in the 80s. And it was all moms and pops businesses. And so we consolidated. We own about 136 licenses, leases. So out of 23 million barrels of proven reserves, we have what it's called proved developed. So developed only 15% of the acreage that we have. So 85% is the upside that we have.
So have you got a program set up? Are you funded to take that other 85% towards production?
Of course, we have a program. And the program and the funding, it all depends on the oil price. Once with the oil price at 50, our wells are giving us IRR of 52%. So at the 50, it's worth drilling. But when it's 40, it's not worth drilling. That's why we active when the price is right, and we tend to hedge our prices. So we drill when the prices are around 50, and you can expect us to be active. But when the price is going down, we're lowering production in order to have to save the costs and in order to save the cash flow. So for us, in the low price environment, and for a low price environment, I mean 40s for the oil price, our main objective is to stay cash flow positive. Once the price is 50 and above, we're back to the growth mode. We have about 450 new well locations to drill. So we have inventory to drill for the next 5 years. And the potential to reach 6,000 barrels a day. The path to that number, as I said, depends on the oil price. The higher the oil price, the sooner we'll get there.
The last presentation you did back in April sort of leads to say that you're well positioned to grow and make some acquisitions. Now, in terms of making those acquisitions, are we again reliant on oil price to do that?
In April, the oil price was 54, and after the IPO, it went as low as 43. And once it's in the 40s, the M&A market sort of freezing because no one wants to sell at that price. No one wants to finance at that price. That's why now it's in the 50s. Now it's active again. People are willing to sell at the valuation based on the $50 oil price, and investors looks like willing to finance at this price. So yeah, once the price at the 50s, we'll be active in M&A as well.
Yeah, so just tell me a bit as well about the board of directors that you've got there and the management team, because you've got quite a strong team put in place.
Sure. It's people that work with me on the other projects. We have technical director, our chief geologist. They worked with me at West Siberian Resources. That's the company that I was the CEO from 2004 and till 2008. And that's the company that was producing in Russia. And we increased production from 1,000 barrel a day to 50,000 barrel a day in 2008. So I can rely on that expertise. Also, we have chief operating director who came with me from TNK-BP. His name is Sergei Funigin, and he was with ConocoPhillips before, working actually in the same area, Panhandle area, where we work today. He was 6 years with Conoco. And then he was at TNK-BP as the head of our Venezuela project. The rest of the team is local specialists, local oil guys, local drilling managers. So most of the local team is people who work in the Panhandle for the last 20 plus years. As of the board of directors, there is also Eric Forsch, who is our chairman. He was chairman of West Siberian Resources, and before that he was chairman of Force Energy, so he's quite known in the Swedish market, in the Scandinavian market, and he's been with me through that West Siberian Resources journey. Also, we have director Frank Lytle, who is actually a specialist on the legal side of the land use, which is very important in the States. He has 40 plus years experience in the oil and gas industry in Texas, Louisiana, in the United States. We have Ekaterina Sapozhnikova. She was the CFO at the West Siberian Resources, and so she knows very well the capital markets and the financial regulations and reporting, and she's very helpful in that. And then it's myself.
Yeah, and I can see Eric's obviously got 5% of the company, so a vested interest there, obviously. Not quite as big as yourself, mind.
Yes.
So what's going to happen in the next quarter now for 2017 for Matra?
We haven't published the last quarter results, but the results are driven by the fact that we have finished drilling the 10 wells with the money we raised in April. We drilled the 10 wells and they came on production all of them just at the end of August. So from that, you can expect the increase in production and in the results. We continue the development program.
Okay, Maxim. So is there anything else you would like to add today?
I would like to add that I'm very glad to have in this conversation. We have 5,000 shareholders in the UK. And when we were becoming private in 2014, I have promised to the shareholders that their shares will be liquid one day. And I'm very glad that I kept to that promise. And the shares are liquid today. We are public. And we have survived through the very difficult 3 years of the depressed oil price. And I'm glad that we are continuing our development. And I would like to thank those shareholders for their patience and for their belief in me and in the team.
Okay, Maxim. So that was Maxim Barsky of Matra Petroleum. Thank you, Maxim.
Thank you very much, John.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.